After Party Pod is brought to you by the book Ending Addiction for Good, which is by Cliffside Treatment Center founder and CEO Richard Tate and Dr. Constance Scharf, Cliffside's addiction researcher. Through self-disclosure, case studies, scientific facts, and firsthand experience, Tate and Scharf explain how anyone can recover from addiction. I'm a big fan of the book. I'm not the only one. It's received rave reviews, and it also made it into the VMA's gift bag, and you just know those people need to hear this message. You can get the book by going to Amazon, or you can go to Cliffside's website, which is cliffsidemalibu.com. Get the book. Get it now. I recommend it. Hey, it's Anna David with the After Party Pod. My guest today is somebody that I met, I guess 10 years ago. We were both brand spanking new to recovery, and we kind of clung to each other as newly sober people will. And we talked about that. Our nickname for each other was Cody, short for codependent. So at least there was some awareness about that. And I honestly just associate her with such a fun time in my sobriety when everything was brand new. I was like emerged from the womb, it seemed like, but I was in fact, 30 years old. So that's a shocking thing. No wonder I was clinging. And we just had a lot of fun. And then she went off and sort of left the recovery fold and then reemerged years later on Sober House. I'm talking about Jennifer Jimenez, Jen Jimenez, as she is sometimes known, Jenny Jimenez, as I have called her before in private, I swear. And so we just had not seen each other in years and years and years. And then we reconnected. And in fact, we didn't talk about this in the interview, but we've now been on Dr. Drew's show, his CNN show, together, I think two or three times. And it was such a pleasure to have her on my podcast. She has now been sober over 6 years. I mean, she went and took it down. That girl went and took the disease as far as the disease is willing to go, essentially. And she ended up getting sober, being intervened on by her mother and Brandy Glanville of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, who's her BFF. And she ended up at Las Encinas and, canker sores filling her mouth, really in bad shape. And eventually she got clean and sober and became this real model of recovery and has done all sorts of work in that field. She does a lot of the talking head stuff. She was the spokesperson for a treatment center. And now she has launched her very own magazine called SoberBook.com. She owns it with a businessman in Florida. She spends half of her time in Florida. It is a website. She talks all about it. But basically, you can go there and write your own story about anything you've overcome. You don't have to have overcome drug addiction. It can be about anything. You don't even have to have overcome it. And she goes through all the online responses and then selects, I guess, her favorite ones, and they are printed in a magazine, which is circulated to 10,000 people in South Florida, which is, besides Malibu, California, the real recovery center of the world. And so we just had a lot of fun. We talked about the old days. We talked about being Cody's. We talked about how we would go out and chain smoke cigarettes and drink Red Bull. We talked about how I became a totally self-righteous anti-smoker. We talked about a gay guy we were both in love with. She was way more in love with him than I was. We talked about a girl we knew, we really looked up to, because she was sober like 10 years, she said, and then she tried to strangle her sponsee. It was only funny because, it wasn't a real strangulation situation. But anyway, we had that kind of chat, and we talked about so much more, and we really got into sort of fame addiction and how much that can screw people up. She has happens to have been best friends with two people who have become very, very famous, and And we talked about that. And she, you've seen her. She's been on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills for 2 seasons. She's going to be on this upcoming season, which will come to your television starting in November. So we could say this is pegged to that. And she always is so much fun to talk to and has a huge, huge heart. So I know you will join me in welcoming Miss Jennifer Jimenez. Okay, I'm sitting here with Jen Jimenez, and she's in the bathroom. And the reason that I'm starting this early is that she walked in the door. I started recording because I was afraid that if I didn't, we never would. And so as I was just explaining, I started it while you were in the other room because you walked in here and we've now chatted for an hour and a half straight without turning on the recorder. Oh, we're very cash around here.
Oh my God.
So,
I just finished urinating and...
You know what? I bring the real Jen Jimenez. We don't need... This is the way to do it.
I'm on my period. No, I'm just kidding.
But basically, I was afraid because we just talked for like rapid fire for maybe 2 hours.
I know.
Without the recording, that we would do this all day.
I know.
And so I had to just start it.
I know. Isn't it crazy? Like every time we were together, we're like, I was saying that to my boyfriend. I just got nervous.
I was saying to
my boyfriend, I'm like,
who's your boyfriend? Exclusive.
Wait. So I was saying to him, I'm like, you know, Cody did it. He's like, I thought it was Anna. I was like, no, Coates. And he's like, Coates. And I'm like,
okay, let's explain this. Because I've been reminiscing knowing you were coming over. Okay. This is as far as this is how I recall. And I actually remember every word. So we met because we had seen each other at meetings is what happened.
Yeah. I was newly sober back then.
Me too. Okay. And so it was all new. All the faces were new. And so
2001, I remember.
Yeah. Okay. So it was 2001. So, okay. I have no excuse because I've been around a year, but I was still very like uncomfortable.
Do you remember a year sober for me was crazy? So a year sober for you was crazy. So we're still,
new. So, but what I remember is that I was at a party. It was when I was working for Premiere and I was at a party and I just remember that it was on Robertson. Somehow it was like some bar or club that was on Robertson.
And we're sober at a bar.
And you come up to me and I even remember it was a Thursday night. And you sit down for some reason, and either one of us says, wait, you look familiar. And the other's like, yeah, from 7:30 in the morning. And we have this whole connection. And the other thing that I remember about that, and all I remember is that I made out with Jason Weinberg, who's like the, you know, extremely gay. So that's new. That was early sobriety. And then we became BFFs from there.
Okay, so what I remember is that you came up to me at Sundowners and you're like, oh my God, blah, 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 blah. I had just met you at a party. And I was like, oh, well, and then I was like, do not tell. Yeah, and I was like, do not tell anyone. It was so anonymous for me back then. Like, I was like, what was I trying to hide? I mean, it's so different.
Well, because I worked at Premiere and you were, you know.
I thought you worked at us.
No, back then I worked at Premiere. Well, either one.
Yeah, but and I was like, oh my God, you can't tell anyone.
Right, you thought I was going to like write it.
I know, like as if, like, I mean, just the grandiosity.
But then.
And I kept saying, you got to swear Solomon's secret. You'll never, ever, ever, ever tell. And you're like, yeah, no, it's okay.
Everybody
like,
chill out. Yeah.
And then we became BFFs.
Yes.
But we became so codependent that we call each other.
Cody.
Yeah. And sometimes nickname is codes.
But the thing is, I don't ever think it was actually codependent. Because if
it wasn't,
really,
I know you used to fight me on this all the time. You're like, we are not codependent.
Because I have been in real codependent situations. And trust me, in real ones, you don't call each other Cody.
It is
way too dysfunctional and rife with horror.
I just got all these birthday pictures from Sarah Pantera, and you are in them, and it's like me, you.
Is that the one where, like, we had it at the...
Coffee house.
That was, first of all, an amazing place.
Yes, and it was like Cameron, Christina Applegate, Cameron Diaz, Selma Blair, Jason... Jason, wait, why? He's ginormous right now. Jason, he's...
Siegel? I'm guessing.
No, Jason, he was in Sweetest Thing with me. He's... Jason, oh my God, why am I having a brain fart?
Jason, Bateman.
Bateman.
Yes, yes.
I mean...
What's like, so funny is the only person I remember from being there, who I remember being there was Joe Vespa. What's his name?
Jeff Vespa. Yes.
Because I took all these pictures with him that night.
He gave me a Chanel necklace that night, I remember.
Oh my God.
I just took pictures with him and then that girl, Sean Howard. I don't know if you remember her.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Random.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't remember any of the superstars being there. No it was
like
recollection.
Christian Kaplan, head of Fox.
I remember him.
And like everyone's like, if there was a bomb in this place, like Hollywood would end. I mean, there are so many other names there. And then Amy. Sweet little Amy Hall.
Sweet little Amy, who you're still friends with, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Wow, those were good times. Like, I remember, hanging out with you back then and Amy and everyone. Like, that's when sobriety was really fun.
Really fun.
Like, you guys made it so fun. And, like, Andrew, oh, my God, Andrew Brin, my husband, who was, at the time, not into girls.
Well, and
No, I was obsessed with marrying him.
Well, here was the thing, is we were this group of people that got sober and that were, we all kind of came around at the same time. I mean,
and we were all in the same industry.
Yeah. And we just wanted to have fun. And I think we were so lucky, you know? And so I had this job at Premiere where I had to go out all the time. And that was when Les Deux, remember
Les
Deux?
Oh my gosh.
And so I think it was Monday nights, Apple and Audrey would promote it, Les Deux, and our friend Andrew did The Door, and it was this, like, ridiculously, like, A-list thing, but he would just let all, like, us in with whoever we wanted, and then keep, like, everybody else out.
Yeah, and then there was
so
that
great
one
for
place.
Grandiosity and sobriety.
I know, right? And then there was that, that place on, next to, Dantana's.
Oh.
Remember? I don't remember the name of it.
Oh, yeah. Thursday nights.
Yeah, we just go in.
Brett Bolthouse did.
Yes, and I would go in my sweats, and we would dance. Like,
yeah.
God, those were the good old days.
Yeah.
This time around, sobriety wasn't fun at all for me.
Well, but I have to tell you, because I was thinking about this as I was thinking about you coming over. Yes, it was fun. I was thinking about specifically my making out with Jason Weinberg, a very gay man. But I remember that I actually felt really uncomfortable a lot of the time. Yes, it was fun. Yes, we were being quote-unquote fabulous. Yes, there was music. I remember drinking a lot of Red Bulls and smoking a lot of cigarettes. But I did have that. There's a level of freedom that I have now that I in no way had then. You know what I mean?
I do know, because I felt like I was so caught up in the illusion.
Yes.
And like I always talk about this. Like that time around when I got sober, I cleaned up. Still quickly, you know, I mean, I got a little, like, it wasn't as quick as it used to be in the years before that, but like it was all about smoke and mirrors, and like I was still pretending, and you know, after a little while, you know, I got what I needed back, I got the career again. I mean, I was still had the career, so I kept going with the illusion of that at that point. And, and I was so empty inside. Like, I remember doing, like, with Allison.
Wait, what?
That Creole, remember?
Yeah.
I did like a and I was like, what is going on? Because like I was, I mean, not to bash anyone, but like I was still like.
Do you remember the whole thing that like it all went to hell when Michelle strangled. We like knew sponsees who were trying to strangle their sponsors and like act like they were all sane. I mean, it made no sense.
Yeah, and like that whole thing, and like I remember, you know, because we're smart people, like we all look at each other, and so we pretend at, like to be somewhat like them, but it just felt uncomfortable.
Right, because they have 8 years, 9 years sober and stuff. Yeah, no,
there was question those now.
I know, but there was a lot of madness, and it was great. I mean, I do feel really lucky in that most people sort of seem to get sober and they're miserable for their first year. My misery did not kick in until years 2, 3, 4, got a lot harder, but I had the full pink cloud experience despite the discomfort I felt. I mean, I remember being like, I've got to down all these Red Bulls because I've got to feel more comfortable, you know?
I couldn't sleep at night, and that's why we hung out at clubs. Like, I remember, and then, like, I also remember, like, I just felt that emptiness all the time, and the Red Bulls didn't kick in. And I was just showing this to my boyfriend in Florida. I was showing him my underwear was hanging over my thing. I'm like, I used to live like this. Like,
oh yeah, I think I still do.
Oh my God! And I was like, I can't even believe I did that. But then, you know, I relapsed. So
yeah, okay. So here's that was about for about a year we were doing that. 2 years. How long was that?
Well, it was I remember, October 1st, I was my sobriety date in 2001. Yet again, another one, but I stayed sober for a little while.
Okay.
Until I got prescribed Ambien in 2003, but I relapsed in June 24th or 28th or something like that, 2004. But I had already gone away in 2004 from everybody. Like, I got the life back and I was hanging out with the A-listers.
Right, right.
And all
right.
them. And
I remember
and,
you got that boyfriend who was an actor.
Yeah. And we were like, I believe that he fulfilled the fantasy of what I thought I needed. Like,
yeah.
he was a hot and upcoming, you know, huge hunk, Hollywood hunk. And I was this, like, little starlet. And
right.
we hung out with this crowd that was different than what I was hanging out with before. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I would now, like, and it was all about keeping secrets. And so, and I stopped going to meetings, and I
right.
never finished step five, and,
right.
you know, all
right,
that
right,
stuff.
Right.
And so then I just believed my own hype, and then I thought my higher power was him. And
right.
how sadly did he let me down? But thank God he did, because,
right.
you know, I got to today, my recovery today, it wasn't easy at all. It wasn't easy
no.
from January 15, 2006 is my sobriety date. It has not been an easy route. However, I live a full life. I feel I live a good life.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm happy with good.
What's interesting to me, though, is you were so into it. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but, and I don't remember if one day we just stopped. I have no idea. Like, we never
the
had
Cody
a falling
thing,
out.
I think, got. I don't know. Something.
We did. Did we have a falling out that I don't remember?
I don't know.
I don't think we did. Because I remember those, you know? I think we just, it's just that slow thing, you know? And life moves really, it moved really fast in early sobriety.
No, it didn't. You know, I'm a big advocate. I believe today, like, we're all stepping stones for each other. And
right.
sometimes it's a season, reason, or life. And it's
right,
interesting
right.
how we've become for life. Like, you know
right,
what I mean? Like,
right,
we still
right.
cross paths. And, like, we're talking for an hour and a half before you start recording
right.
me out of the bathroom.
Right. I'm so
secretly.
Sorry. Are you over that yet?
You just did what I've been fearing you to do for 12 years. 12
so
years
funny.
I've been asking you, like, you're not recording. You're not recording.
Even 15 minutes before, you looked around my apartment, like, before, when we were not recording, as if it was bugged. And just said, you're not recording, right? And then I did it to you. But it was only out of pure, like, we're going to sit here till 8 p.m.
I know.
And not record a thing.
I know.
But wait, I just remembered, I feel like I should save it for after I stop the thing, but somebody funny that you had a crush on, and you were convinced that the two of you needed to be together.
Andrew.
That was crazy.
You think there's another one?
I'm so sorry.
Oh my God! Who I ended up becoming friends with, and then he asked me on a date, and I was so loaded I couldn't.
Okay, but it was kind of like.
He was my future husband, ex-husband.
You were totally convinced.
I'm surprised I didn't get a tattoo of his name on me, or his face on my arm. Thank God!
But
oh my
wait,
God, that's
so
hilarious.
So, the other thing I was reminiscing about before you came over is how we had the same drug dealer. Remember,
oh
Alex?
My God, I forgot about that.
Yeah. And I've been watching Breaking Bad super late, so, and then also my handyman was recently telling me these stories about how he was a drug dealer, so I've been, it's been on my mind lately, but yeah, the dealer who would deliver cocaine in lotto tickets.
Yes.
Remember?
I forgot until you're saying that right now, and
yeah.
I remember him walking into my house.
Oh, I always met him on the street.
No, and his wife.
I never met the wife.
Oh, yeah. I would go to their house.
Well, I remember that you telling me that he begged you at a certain point to stop.
Stop, yeah.
He said, stop calling me.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because I only knew him as, like, a very, you know, business-like, here's your gram, where's my $60?
Yeah, you speak a little Spanish and you get in a lot more.
Yeah.
But then it's so sad.
Yeah.
When dealers are telling you, and he wasn't the only dealer that told me to stop. There's two others. So the last one, and then the one before Alex, when I first started. They stopped dealing to me. Like, not the last one, though. He laced me with heroin and horse tranquilizer and rat poison. And
what? Okay, hold on. We're going somewhat chronologically. Okay, so there was the Alex thing, and he was... It's probably not his real name. I just got really paranoid. Who knows if he's...
Oh.
Still in the trade. It doesn't matter. It's
yeah,
a first name. I didn't say a last name, and it's probably not
real. I don't even know
Will
the last
you
name.
Use your real name if you were a drug dealer? Of course not.
No, but I'd be a dumb drug dealer. I probably would. I'd be like, hey, I'm Jen. Jimenez.
Follow me on Twitter. Okay.
That's Jennifer Jimenez on Twitter.
Okay. So, I know. Can we talk about how you went from Jennifer
to Jen
double N? Tell
okay.
me about that.
Okay. I'm Jennifer Jimenez, but like my family and friends call me Jenny,
yeah.
right? Which is funny because my family's from Argentina and my mom can only say Shenny, like Shenny third. Like they
mm-hmm.
can't say Jennifer. They don't,
they don't J.
Yeah, they don't J at all. I like that. And I'm going to use that one. So then, you know, when I became, like, the actress extraordinaire, I was like, hello, my name's Jennifer. Like,
right,
so I became right. serious. Like, I don't, yeah. can't even say it.
But I never called you Jennifer. You never introduced, you introduced yourself as Jen.
Yeah, I did back
yes,
then.
You
See,
did.
I was so confused trying to tell that story. But then, you know, so Jenny and Jen, like, people used that were close to me.
Yeah.
And Jennifer was the actress extraordinaire, like,
right.
take me seriously.
Right.
So then Drew, Dr. Drew, on Sober House, started calling me Jen.
Yeah.
And
there was another Jen on it. Is
no.
that why they, why
no.
did you get the double N?
Well, because Jennifer is spelled with, is J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R. So
right.
if you take the ifer around,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
away,
yeah. Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Jen with
okay.
two N's.
Okay, got it.
But I was so, like, I'm like, shit. He just took, like, my name that my family and friends call me
oh.
away. So Jen Jimenez is like, hi, I'm the reality girl.
Okay, so Jen is the reality star, and Jennifer is the actress.
Yes, and Jenny is just Jenny. Like, I'm just like, it's
I like Jenny.
So,
I'm going to start calling you Jenny.
You can.
Just because
yeah.
it feels cute.
It's funny, because Brandy is always like, this is Jenny, I mean Jen, you
yeah.
know, and I'm like, I don't care at this point. Like, Jenny is really, really close. You're really close to
yeah.
me, so of course you can
call okay, me. As we decided,
yeah.
I've become a lifer. So.
But, I mean, you and I have a special name.
Right.
Codes
right.
Cody forever. True life.
But
like,
I,
true life
again, I want to say, I don't think the codependence got... it. Did, I,
you
I
always used to do
no,
the same thing.
I never,
but
I was never
was,
mad. I never felt like it was... You know, because my sign that I'm codependent with someone is I'm constantly disappointed in how they're not doing enough for me. This is like an old pattern. I don't really think I do it anymore.
You gave me that day at the coffee house birthday A-lister party.
Yeah.
You gave me this fortune cookie, silver paint fortune cookie that said Cody.
Oh my God, I did. I remember
and I
that.
And I still have it.
That's an amazing gift. That beats Jeff Vespa's Chanel necklace.
I know, it does. It does.
You cleaned up that
it,
year.
It beats the diamond bracelet my boyfriend just gave me.
Okay, who's this boyfriend?
He's a guy. And
he's in Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you met him over there?
Mm-hmm. I did. He actually lived here for 2 years and I didn't know him. But he's a New Yorker
uh-huh.
Jew, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he, what does he do?
He's in the hospitality industry.
Okay, okay.
Ironically, yeah, he's great.
And so you just met him how long ago?
Yesterday. No, just kidding. We've known each other 6 months
uh-huh.
now and we've been dating 3 months today.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
And, okay, I like it.
I'm
so,
head over heels.
You are?
Yeah, you know, yeah. I never, like, Florida has been my, like...
Salvation.
Florida, I feel like, I never thought, like, I used to make fun of people like that. I'm like, oh, Florida, because I've done shows and I used to model, like, in
mm-hmm.
Florida, and I used, to, I did a TV show there for 6 weeks. I loved
oh,
it.
Oh, the Miami,
Model Latina.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like it's my people, like, in
mm-hmm.
Florida, like, the East Coast loves me, and
mm-hmm.
I love the East Coast. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I love it, everyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like,
mm-hmm.
I just feel a little more flavor
Interesting.
There.
Well, yeah.
And they get me, you
yeah.
know, and here
yeah.
it's kind of hard to get me.
Yeah, it's just interesting. Like, I mean, I don't feel... It's funny. When I moved to New York, I moved there in the fall. It was a gorgeous fall. I want to say it was fall of 2008. I felt like everywhere I walked, there was sitcom music playing behind me. Like, everywhere I went, people would go, you're the most amazing person I've ever met. It was literally like, do you want this book deal? Do you want this TV show? Do you want this boyfriend? It was everything. I was like, finally, I've arrived
uh-huh.
in a city that understands how great I am, was how I felt. And then winter came. And it was the most bizarre thing. For 3 months, literally, I was the most amazing. I was the creme de la creme. And then it just abruptly stopped. And then I had 2 years of how do I get back to LA. Anyway.
I love coming. I mean, LA is my home. It's where I was born. So,
yeah.
like, I was gone. I came back this weekend. And then I leave next week again. But there's nothing better than walking into your home and just, or like flying over the city. Like, it doesn't matter. I always say, I feel like Pretty Woman in this part where like all your dreams can come true. Like, this
yeah.
is the city where all your
Absolutely.
Dreams can come true. And I've been able to redefine myself, you
right,
know?
And right, right.
this has been that city for me. I mean, and my family's here. So like, I mean, I am a true
it's a
LA girl.
Pretty amazing place. I mean, after those 3 years in New York, I know this is it for life. I'm never gonna live anywhere else. This is it for me.
Yeah. I'm good with wherever I go, there I am.
Yeah.
Isn't
yeah.
that weird?
Well, and you also have a New York thing. And I'm like, remember I was trying to talk you out of it? I go, you know, just, I did it. You get stuck there. Then moving back seems so hard.
Yeah. I've always wanted to live in New York for a long time, even though I already lived there as a model. Like,
right, but that's different when than I living, you know.
Catan. We lived in New York and L.A., and then I was just in Jersey, which is very close to New York.
Right.
That was really beautiful, actually.
It can be. Yeah. Parts of it.
Because I was in Jacksonville, Fort Lauderdale, Delray, Jersey, all in a week and a half.
And so, okay, so then we lose touch, and what happens to you? You were, you did those movies, and yeah. You had that boyfriend, and...
Ended the relationship, found drugs. I had a new boyfriend, poor guy, who I was his beard for.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, too.
Yeah, and then I drank that night. That's the night I relapsed. And
the night that you decided to be a beard?
The night that we kissed on the red carpet for the paparazzi because they asked us to kiss, and then all of a sudden we were like a hot item.
In a beard situation, do they say...
I didn't know he was gay yet.
Right. Do they say you're a... So he doesn't say... He acts like he's interested.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. You know, I'm thinking, like, maybe there's a little bi or something going on afterwards. Right. And then, like, he confronts me and says, you know, by the way, I'm gay, but can we... And I'm like, not even bi? You know, yeah, he's like, can we please keep this, like... Straight men are now, like, Hollywood's respecting me again, and we're, like, in, you know, little pictures of us on tabloids,
right.
He's going to the moon, and I'm, like, the starlet that's sitting next to him, and
it's this
whole thing, and my best friend happens to be dating somebody who he was in a band with.
Yes.
And then I go, and I'm, like, hiding all these secrets, and I drink, and so, like, what's the point? And within 11 and a half months, I end up in my shoe box, in my shoe closet, alone with gowns, designer clothes everywhere, and, you know, beautiful furniture, and it looked great on paper, and it was so empty. But see, like, that goes back to, it was so empty in the rooms for me.
Yeah.
And I was all smoke and mirrors. It was fun. I felt loved and accepted.
Right. But it wasn't.
But I felt loved and accepted because of who I was.
Right.
What I did, not who I was. Because I didn't even know who I was.
Head. I know, but the thing is, that, like, the rooms is the one place that will accept anybody. You don't have to be fabulous.
But that's what I walked into, fabulousness. You know what I mean? And, like, it was never about, like, how are you really feeling? Like, I didn't see it, nor was I ready to get it. Now, what other people were doing or not doing, I don't know. I don't remember. You know, like, I was, you know, and I didn't know that there was other disorders going on in my life. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know I had other issues, like, you know, mental illnesses and sex addiction and, you know, grandiosity and, you know, emptiness, and that there was a void, and I didn't do the steps, and I didn't go to therapy. Like, I didn't understand that there was so much more underneath that layer of drugs and alcohol.
Right.
And so then, you know, Brandy from The Housewives comes to me with my mom. She's pregnant with her second child. And my nose is bleeding, jaw's disconnected because I pulled it in a grinding thing.
Oh, you pulled your own jaw out?
Yeah, because you know when you're grinding?
Yeah.
And, like, you're like, oh, I just want to, like, so.
You dislocated your own jaw.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they come to me and they say, you need to go to treatment. And, like, jaw's disconnected, blood. And I'm like, I hadn't slept in, like, 5 days. And I'm like, fuck you and the wombs you came out of. Go fuck yourself.
You were doing cocaine by yourself in your house?
Oh,
your
apartment? Okay. Like, it wasn't cute the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And I kicked them out, and Brandy, and I was like, how do you know I'm good at treatment before that? And she said, well, stole your social security number, and I called SAG to see where you could go, and then your mom called all these places, and Los Encinas is where I ended up checking in, but that's one of the places, and one of the doctors there was a doctor of a family member of mine, and so I made a deal with God, and I said, give me Hawaii, because Hawaii was where, like, my dream was, you know, and I'll give you me. And 3 days later, some hapless passerby that I was sleeping with came to me and said, hey, babe, I got an extra ticket to Hawaii. You want to come? And I was like, really? Like, I couldn't even believe that that happened.
Wait, I'm so confused. They showed up. They said, go to Los Encinas.
I said, go fuck yourselves.
Okay.
And I kicked them out.
Okay.
Then as they left, I'm calling the drug dealer.
Yeah.
And I said to God, you give me Hawaii, I'll give you me.
Okay. Yeah.
3 days later.
A guy invites you to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
I come back, and then I checked myself into treatment.
Okay.
July 12th of 05.
Okay.
And I stayed in treatment. I thought I was going for 5 days to shut those two girls up.
Right.
And I stayed until November 1st or November something. And when I walked into treatment, I could speak four languages. I was a woman of the world.
Right.
And I didn't realize, you know, I was pregnant, had a miscarriage, still carrying a dead baby, four and a half months pregnant later in that time period. I fell, hairline fractured my coccyx, was in a wheelchair, had 150 canker sores in my tongue, had all these cuts on my feet.
From what? What were the canker sores? It was just drug addiction?
Okay. All the poison, and they didn't know how to diagnose me, and I was just a nightmare, and Dr. Drew happened to be one of my doctors, and I hated him, he hated me.
Right.
I was just a nightmare, and I was in there with another high-profile celebrity.
Right.
And we were nightmares, but then there was,
the
like...
The one whose book that I did,
the
possibly?
One, yeah. Okay. Well, he talks about it, yeah. So I was in it with Tom Sizemore.
Yeah.
And we were nightmares together, and we yeah. ended up living in a sober living area of that facility yeah. together with, like, Jeff Conaway, another very, very, very... famous celebrity blind man singer kid and
okay
and
okay yeah, yeah.
And then
so not him
yeah no the kid okay. and then there's Janie Lane was there. He's now dead. Jeff Conaway's now dead.
Who was the first person?
Janie Lane from She's My Cherry Pie.
I don't even know who that is.
I think okay. it's White, not White Stripes.
Okay.
Anyways,
yeah.
And then there's a couple other people that come in and out. They're really high profile, and we're living there. We're nightmares. We're crazy. And, you know, there's no, like, I was such a mess, and there's so much trauma that was coming out. You know, yeah. after, I think you eventually explode. You
yeah.
know, I think if you're, yeah. like, in something, whether it be drugs, alcohol, you know, a verbal or abusive relationship or some kind of thing, at one
right.
point we all collapse.
Right,
you know, and
right, right.
and I was just like, ugh, silly putty that came out, and I relapsed. And then I came to and went back to treatment.
Same place.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
January 15th. And I stayed until April 30th. And then I wanted to get my life back because, you know, we always want to get our life, the old life back.
Yeah.
And I moved to L.A. or, yeah, and... I was such a mess, and I didn't know how to live. And then I moved out, and I went to Pasadena, and I got sober there.
Right, 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 right.
I stayed sober there, and they saved my life. You know, I call them the toothless meetings. You know,
right,
the people
right,
that,
right.
like, you could barely see any teeth, and they were telling me to sit down, shut up, and
yeah.
it changed my life, and I listened. I didn't have any other option.
Yeah. Well, can you talk about the trauma, or do you not want to get into that? And what you uncovered, and what was sort of bubbling out?
Well, I mean... I was so lost, and like my dealer had laced me with all those drugs, you know, that I was saying to you earlier. On January 15th, I hung myself in the psych ward. I ended up in the psych ward at Los Angeles, and I hung myself. And they take the plastics and the shoelaces away. They forgot my spike belt. And I went to the restroom when they ran to go get papers to do an assessment.
And you were just like, I want to die. I can't do this. I can't.
You know, they say seconds and inches. You know, it was like that. It was like I got up, I went to pee, like I did here.
Yeah, okay.
And and I went, they forgot. Spike belt. And I came out and I just went, I looked up. It was like,
how did you even know? Okay, yeah, you just did it.
You just do.
Okay.
You don't know. I don't know. I didn't like try to do that before, but
right.
you're so at such a hopeless case, you know,
yeah.
place. And
yeah.
I looked up, there was a little thing and I like grabbed on and I jumped on my bed. And then I remember my feet dangling, came to in a 5-point strap with an enema on my ass, and that's my bottom.
Oh my God.
So when I came to, I knew I had no other option. And the trauma was, you know, look, we're all trauma survivors.
Yeah.
We, you know, I'm a product of my environment,
yeah.
you know, and the apple doesn't fall far from the tree in my line of,
right,
you know,
right.
my mom, thank God my mom's not an addict, but my dad was. And,
yeah.
you know, I had to do all that uncovering, discovering, discarding the family issues.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that came in and like, you know, not knowing that like if, because I remember being sober in the past going, is this what everyone feels like, sober? You
right,
know, like,
right,
I was either really hot, happy, or really down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and there was no happy medium.
Right, right, right. Which is, like, the whole point of sobriety is to get the balance.
Yeah, to get the balance. And then, you know, I acted out with guys. I acted out, you know, I believe that there's this other addiction that's
yeah.
called famism.
Oh, yeah.
And I was, again...
Did you know there's a treatment center in L.A. that treats people for fame addiction?
Who?
It's called the Control Center. I swear to God.
Oh,
I know.
My God.
Yeah.
It's going to be passed, I think. Like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The grandiosity. You
yeah.
know, like you believe it.
I could send like at least 10 people off the top of my head there.
I could send like probably 10 or more too.
I mean, and I feel like I narrowly escaped having it. Like I was so close to having it. And then I basically got to know the limited famous people I got to know. I saw, whoa, this is not it. This is not where happiness and function lies.
No.
I mean, which is not to say that every famous person is miserable at all, but I think if you're dysfunctional and you get famous, it's a dangerous combination.
There's a lot of enablers around you. And look, yeah. I got discovered when I was 13, turning 14. Right. So, people go, oh, well, you know, you're just getting this fame. And it's like, no, I was a supermodel. I was in really big, I got in it, and then I got chewed up, spit out, came back as an actress, got chewed up, spit out, and now I'm back. And,
right.
It's smoke and mirrors, you know what I mean? And you don't know any better when it's embedded, when it's every day, who you are is your next this or that or blah, blah, blah.
Well, and you also have now twice been best friends with somebody and watched them get super famous.
Yeah.
Which is I would say a traumatizing experience in a way.
You know, it's not. I believe that we all have roles in our lives and we all have reasons, to be here. And, I don't feel like one person is more famous than the other. And I don't feel like one person is less famous or non-important than the other. You know what I mean? I'm doing a whole different career.
But the world gets a little tilted when that starts to happen,
It does. I mean, look, it has for me, in the past. I know for me, at the end of the day today, what I do is to make a living.
Yeah.
Who I am is different.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I've done a lot of work on it. So I feel there's more room in the world, for people to succeed. I mean, I only want people to succeed. I want my friends and family to succeed.
Yeah.
So it's really great to see that,
But yeah, totally. I mean, I think that just in terms of living in a society that worships that so much, it's hard to keep everything straight, I think.
It is, I got my priorities in check right now. My first and foremost is to stay sober. And I realize my purpose in life is to help others.
Right.
And whether it be don't become like her or become like her, that you can overcome anything. They said, I called Hollywood a chapter. I lost 140 pounds. I gained 100 pounds in recovery. I lost 140 pounds. Was going to go to Pasadena Community College, and I played at Target. Didn't get the job at Target. Got sober house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I lived in Laverne, fucking California. And Hollywood came back to me.
Right.
And I didn't know that I would ever get this second chance.
Yeah.
And second chance in life, really. Yeah. And now I would have never been able to tell you 12 years ago, I want to own a magazine. I own a magazine. Want to, help people. I help people. I want to be in recovery and be an advocate for it. Never thought that. I'm a writer. I'm writing a book.
So, okay, wait. So do you want to talk about that? What's the book?
The book is, I'm still working about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wait. It got a little. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Because it's hard. Because there was a lot of blackouts in my moments in my life, and that's from the trauma. Even in high school, it took me going back to my 15-year reunion to realize that, I actually had fun in high school and seeing everybody again, because I hated it. I thought it was, the
that's
most...
That's so interesting. I do not go to my high school reunions because I'm convinced I hated it. Are you telling me that if you
have
go...
To.
No, I to. Really hated it. I really, really, really
so
did hated
I.
it.
So did I.
Why did you go?
Because my girl... Okay, you really want to know the truth?
Yeah.
Because my girlfriend... I have two girlfriends. This girl, Lisa, and this girl, Adriana, who we call each other Fatty. Because we used to be
I remember that.
Yeah, you remember Fatty.
Yeah,
And I was like, Fatty...
Didn't they work at Fred Siegel?
No.
Different people.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so one of my... Fatty was like, you need to go. And I was like, Fatty, I'm not going to go. I hated it. She's like, Fatty, you need to go. Because she's now really successful, and her husband. And she's like, I'm going to New York. I can't go. Or else I'd go. She's like, but you need to go and represent because you won. And I'm like, I won? What do you mean? She's like, you won. Just go. You'll know. And I'm like, I won. So I go. And I won. I just walked in there and I was like, I won. I get it. it's horrible to say that, but
no.
It's not I'm the hottest shit ever, but it was oh my God, I get it. I won. I'm okay. So much of my perception from my childhood was based on that. And who I am today, I won. You know what I mean? It's not my competition. See, that's the thing about I used to believe, even 12 years ago, my competition was against you and that person. Now my competition's against me.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a hard thing to do. I interviewed Carrie White. You know Carrie.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
And we were just talking about that exact thing, that it's so, it took me a long time, you know. I just was really, I was crippled by jealousy. When my first book came out, oh my God, any book that got any attention, I would go crazy. I didn't get that, you know, happiness doesn't come from that. I didn't get that it's that obsession that
guarantees. Who you are is not what you do.
Yeah.
That's my big, I'm a big advocate on that. I'm a big advocate on a lot of things, but that one's.
But also getting that, like, external stuff is never going to heal the inside stuff, which is, we live in a society that teaches the opposite. It teaches, don't deal with what's inside. Just go accomplish, go get famous, go make a lot of money. And, you know, and then people wonder why they have all those things and they're miserable, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, I've had that, and you've had that. Like, mm-hmm. I believe we've all had that. It doesn't matter if you're in, you know, somewhere in the Midwest or somewhere in Guam. Like, we've all had that, and we've all experienced it, and we've had it all, and then it feels like nothing. And then we want the next thing. It's like, I believe we're all addicted to something. Mm-hmm. You know, there is that ism in us, mm-hmm. you know, and some of us have the gene, some of us don't, but, like, you know, we want that next quick fix. And it's true, society, it's like you have to go against that. And that's, you know,
it's a lot of work. I mean, I don't know that I think everybody's addicted to something, but I think that the issues that addicts wrestle with are the same as the issues that non-addicts wrestle with.
We're just more in tune.
Well, I think the volume is turned up higher. And I think that that's the blessing, is that the volume is turned up so high that in order to sort of quell it, you reached, you know, towards drugs, alcohol, whatever it is, and then it turns on you so badly that you actually have to figure out what was the original problem. Mm-hmm. And that is why I think addicts who find sobriety are luckier than average people who don't ever have to figure that out. And they just wonder why there's a dull ache, which is not to say I don't feel dull aches, you know, periodically too. It just means that there's awareness where I would never have had it, you know? Mm-hmm. Sorry, diatribe. So how did you go from being Dr. Drew's nightmare patient to being on Sober House?
He predicted me dead. Mm-hmm. In January, or when I left in April, he's like, she's a hopeless case. And Bob Forrest said, you never know, you might be surprised. My main doctor, Dr. Hosty, said, no, I believe there's hope. Mm-hmm. And I did the work, and it was like, you know, I moved out of LA and I was homeless, but my homeless, I always had a, you know, roof over my head. And my family's in Pasadena, like the recovery world there saved my life. And digging my sponsor and like digging deep and dealing with the issues. And then all of a sudden it was like 2008, January, the end of 2007, January, or in 2008, early 2008, and he was like, he started giving me his patients, his high-profile patients, to sponsor from the hospital, because I was, like, really involved in the hospital and the meetings there and all that stuff, and I just remember I said, ain't that about a bitch, and he was like, what, because we were talking about really, really high-profile person that he wanted me to sponsor, and I was like, and you thought I was going to die, huh? He goes, right. It's people like you that keep me doing what I'm doing.
Right, right.
And I just looked at him and I just nodded. And it was this moment of, like, we connected, right, you know? And right. He thanked me, you know, and I thanked him at that moment. And, you know, and at the end of that, you know, in that year, they were doing the spinoff show called Sober House. And he thought, they were like, who can we have run the house as a house manager? And he thought, why don't we bring Jenna in? Because she's different than the Lindsay Lohans and the Paris Hiltons of the world at the time.
Right.
And not to say that they are not, but we all know the truth.
But
he's like, hey, can you do the show? And the producers came and da-da-da. And I was going to be really behind the scenes, not as much front, you know, right. Front and center. And then, you know, due to the circumstances of the show, I became front and center of the show. So.
Right. And so was that, what was that experience like?
The scariest experience of my life. And I found yet again another. First of all, I found laughter through that experience. I found strength, a lot of strength. I found a lot of breaking down, you know, and a lot of I was diagnosed post-traumatic stress, like, from that show. You know, there was a lot of abuse that happened to me.
Yeah.
And then there was a lot of joy. I remember Andy Dick came on, and I had known him from previously, and he didn't remember me, and I dated someone who he hates, and he hates that, you know, this whole rivalry thing. And I thought he was going to destroy my life. And he brought me so much hope and laughter and joy and dreams. You know, like he was like, you're fat and you need to lose weight and you need to get back into acting. And I was like, how do I do either one of those? And right. then we would just laugh, you know, and then he became an angel for me and I became an angel for him. And
that
I
was
love
season
him.
One. That was the season with Shifty and Andy and
Steven Adler,
that he was the problem that time.
He was the scariest problem. However, you know, Seth was scary too.
Right, right, right. And I remember that we knew Seth back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, he was, you know, around then. So then...
Were you in the spinning crew back then?
You took me.
Because that was an exclusive.
Well, you crew. Let me in there. It was like Steve Jones and...
Christina Applegate, Jake Gyllenhaal, Christina Ricci. Oh, Christina Ricci was at my birthday party too. Jason Bateman, every rocker, Ashley Hamilton, Seth.
Yeah.
It was like we called it the post Oscars.
It was called Todd Tramp.
Yeah, and Andrea.
And Andrea taught it.
Who was,
I remember, Andrea's the person who taught. I was standing outside a meeting with you, and you and Andrea started talking, and she was the first person I ever say, girl, your picker's broken.
Yes, I remember. Oh my God, you're the person. I use that.
It all the time. I will never forget that it was on the steps of...
Rodeo.
No. You don't remember. It was outside Sundowners.
My head, it's Rodeo.
But I mean, I remember it so vividly because I just thought that's the funniest thing I've ever heard. Yeah.
I remember my encounter being at Sundowners with
you. It didn't. It wasn't. It might have happened twice.
But I had met you before, but you were like, oh my God, I met you, I know you from, da, 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 da.
Totally.
And I was like,
yeah. It was a Thursday, I just remember Thursday night, Robertson Bar, Oscar week, I don't even know.
God, it always goes back to Oscar week with you and I.
But, oh yeah, remember there was that, like, when I was working at Premiere, right?
And I don't even remember.
And got involved with the Missonis, do you remember that whole thing?
Yes, and they got me dialed.
Me too.
And in those exclusive Oscar shoot, like I still have those.
I know. I ended up like selling them or something. They were Jimmy Choo's, right?
No. Then you know the Jimmy Choo connection, and then I knew Tamara. We got all the Jimmy Choo's in the world, and then I introduced her because she ended up sleeping with an ex who's now not alive. And
yeah, no, that
I just
I
saw
know.
Her on TV last night.
That part I don't know, but I do remember you being around the Missoni thing, and that was this crazy. It was So Sober House was a good experience.
It was an amazing. It is the biggest blessing, or the best, one of the best blessings I've had in my life.
Right. And so then you had a year in between the two experiences?
Yes, well...
During which you lost like 100 of your 140 pounds.
Yeah, close to 100. Like at that point, I think I had lost 60 pounds or 80, 70 pounds. But I had done another show, and then I was doing all the, you know, how I got my body back, and like people took note, and then I... did this thing about how modeling nearly killed me. And, you know, I started talking about the ins and outs of modeling and what that whole thing was. And I came to about my eating disorders, you know, and that was yet another thing I uncovered and discovered.
Right.
And
what were your eating disorders?
Well, you know, I mean, at age 14, when they're taking you out of school to eat lettuce and buy boxes of laxatives and take you at the gym all day because you started getting curvy because you were developing.
Right. That's what the agents would do?
And like we didn't know any better. My mom would take me out of school and I'd go to the gym, and then the models would teach me to eat laxatives and lettuce, and then, you know, drinking was really beneficial at that point, and then cocaine came in later, but that's when the waif look came in and all that. So, so I mean, you know, that eating disorder started, you know, and then the binging and purging kicked in because other models taught me how to do that. Mm-hmm. And then the drugs kicked in because other models taught me how to do that. And those were my role models, you know, literally, like were, you know, hairdressers, stylists, makeup artists, models, photographers, you know, and then I'd go back to school and try to be a kid, like talk about split personality. And that was a big thing. And, you know, and then I got to, you know, no hurting anyone, no drinking, no using, no drugs, no alcohol. I already said that twice. And then no relationship and no men. And I was like, what?
Right.
And get a pen and paper. And then I had to feel. And then I really had to feel.
Right. And so you mentioned sex addiction. Was that a thing?
I didn't realize that it was, you know, not that like I had like 15 guys in one night or two guys in one night. It was just that I'm in love with love. I was in love with love, and that's sex and love addiction. Yeah. You know, and like, you know, I really believe my first addiction was people pleasing and please love me.
Yeah.
You know, as a little girl. Like, I'll hang out. You know, I wanted to be like Lisa Cronin, Becky Hall in high school. Like, and I'm not like them.
You
know
what I mean? You got a sponsor with one of those last names. There are no accidents.
Ooh.
Did you never connect that?
I never connected that.
Oh my God.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That was good.
That
was quick.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have my moments. So, And so then it became, you know, and I get that, you know, I relate to that focus on men and relationships and love.
Because then I don't have to look at me. I can look at them. But like, you know, I've done the work, and then I've done the work, and now I'm even doing more work, like get in a relationship and you'll realize you'll see your character defects. Like, and I think that I've had so much time apart from relationships to really learn to date me, you know, date, trust in God, and know what I do want and what I don't want. I'm definitely not in my 20s, you know, and I'm pushing 40 more than I am, you know, 20, and I'm pushing 60 closer than I am 20, because I can never go back to 20. Like,
but who wants to?
I never do. And so, like, now I know, like, I know I want to be in a partnership with somebody, and I don't mean like in a relationship. I want to be in a partnership with somebody, like 50-50, walk this thing, and you know, the ups and downs that come with that. And I want to have kids.
Yeah.
You know, and I personally want to have kids. You know, at least try to have kids.
Yeah. And this is the guy you're with. Are you talking about that stuff? Mm-hmm. Or? Yeah.
Yeah.
And can we talk about how you dated Andy Dick, apparently?
I love Andy.
So you don't, okay.
I love Andy. I'll always love Andy.
And so what's next for you? I love these, like, that I'm getting, no, so.
I launched this magazine, Soberbook.com.
And so Soberbook launched in?
Soberbook.com.
Soberbook.com
launched in July.
In July.
I never thought that I'd own a magazine.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, and I collaborated with this partner of mine who's in Florida, and we distribute 10,000 strong in South Florida, the magazine. It's a monthly magazine. It's anonymous. No names, no
faces.
People
submit their stories. They go to soberbook.com.
Yes. And you become a chapter.
And you become a chapter in a book that gets printed in a magazine.
Yes.
And it's a website. How long should the stories be?
It can be 3 lines up to, you know, 1,000 words.
And
it's anything. It's not just about alcohol and drugs.
It's overcoming
any obstacle. How'd you get the job? How'd you lose a job? Right. How'd you get in a relationship? How'd you end the relationship? Right. What happened? What was it like? Like, basically, like, what happened to you? How are you getting over it? How are you not overcoming it?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, some people are like, I'm still in it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And there's a beauty and a power to that, you know, to the honesty. Because there's so many people, like, so many times, and I'm sure you felt this, that you just feel so alone. Like, no, I can't tell that person, somebody this, because they won't relate.
Yeah.
And if you're doing it behind, you know, today, this day and age, cyber world is so much stronger than communicating, you know, person to person. And sometimes that is what keeps us, you know, going, I'm not alone in this.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And I think because I talk about overcoming so many things, you know, and the acting out and putting a nickel between my legs and the sex and the eating.
What's putting a nickel between your legs?
Put a nickel between your legs.
What does that mean?
Do it.
No, I
can't. Pretend you have a nickel in your leg. Okay. In your legs. Put it in your leg.
Okay. Oh, that's what you did?
I had to.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. I was, sorry, my brain could not compute.
And then, you know, I got in a relationship and
you were in a relationship for a while.
Yeah.
I remember that guy.
Yeah, God bless him. I wish him nothing but the best.
He
helped me stay sober.
Right.
And I learned a lot of things, you know, and I learned, and I just wish him nothing but the best. And I remember my sponsor said like that, like, if you love this person, if you love, then you wish nothing but the best for them. And you wish, and maybe you're not the best for them. And maybe they're not the best for you, so you have to wish them that, you know. And I was able to do that in the relationship.
Yeah.
And I realized and I learned a lot of things that I didn't want, you know, and I learned that I needed my own independence too. And now I'm in a relationship with this guy named Dustin, and he's great. And I said his name.
You said his name, exclusive.
After Party Pod. And,
and
that's so cute what you just said. And, you know, and
I like that name a lot too. It's a good name.
Mm-hmm.
I like him for you.
Yeah.
I, you know, easy to say, but I knew with that guy. Remember when we got the manicure? Remember we ran into each other?
Oh, my God. That was like a
manicure place. And you were at King's Road, and you walked by, and we had not seen each other in forever and a day. And you
I rolled by.
No, I don't remember. I don't remember sizes. I just remember that I was really excited to see you. And we talked for literally 3 hours while he waited in the car. Do you remember that?
Oh my God, no, I don't.
You were like, honey, I'm going to be a minute. And cut to 4.5 hours later. That was really funny. But yeah, I was like, no. And so your time is divided between Florida and California.
It is. And now New Jersey. I mean, my time is just divided.
Yeah.
You know, I don't.
That's fun though.
It is fun. Like, I mean, modeling, thank God for modeling. I used to hate modeling and I'd be like, modeling's the worst thing that ever happened to me. If it wasn't for modeling, I'd never end up in Delray, California, where it's the capital of recovery, doing this
Florida.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Photo shoot with like these two guys, Peter and Mark, who are my angels. Like,
right.
They're not even in the program, but they're like, you need to think of yourself as an empire and a businesswoman.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's that? Like, and that's
year,
you know? And,
yeah.
And I went and I did this photo shoot, and because of that, it led me there. And then I got led to my partner and in my new magazine, my new venture, and to my partner in my new relationship. And
right.
It's just like, it's crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And then I just got endorsed by a cigarette company,
an e-cigarette.
Yeah. It's called Bloog.
Oh, I see. Those are the good, though.
Bloog.
Okay. Bloog. How do you spell Bloog?
B-L-O-O-G.
Okay. Okay.
And I've been wanting to quit smoking. That's like the last thing that has a hold on me. And you know, you have to be really careful of how you label that in the cyber world because, you know, it's the last thing that holds me.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm smoking nicotine, vaporing nicotine.
Right.
And I'm not being killed by all of the chemicals that come with that. And this company is so passionate. Like, and I needed to make sure that I connected myself with a company that was really like in for the right reasons.
Yeah.
You know, because today all the other cigarette companies are in it for the business. And yes, it's a business at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But I just went on and had a round table in Jersey with a chemist, a pharmaceutical company, a doctor, this neuroscientist. I mean, all these people, it was like 15 experts and me. And I'm like, what the fuck
How
am I doing?
How did you connect with them?
Thank God I have an amazing agent.
Yeah.
Alec.
Alec got you that?
Yeah, Alec. Yeah.
Nice.
And his,
nice.
Yeah, he worked really hard on it. And they, you know, he was meeting other people too, like, but these are the people that I love. And they're on 24 hours a day for people. Not really 24 hours, but a good like 19 hours a day. It's, you can call them if you want to quit smoking or if you want to go into e-cigarettes or, you know, not smoking chemicals. They walk you through everything. Like some people, they're so invested with each person that they work with.
Awesome.
And you order, you know, these things or you can buy them at the store. You know, I mean, it's not as big as, you know, the other companies.
Right. It's an up and comer that's has better values.
Yeah. And they've been around for 6 years. So it's not like they're just new and pop-up store.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I just went and I spent 3 days with them and they are just so passionate. They eat, breathe this. And they're so passionate about helping one person at a time, you know, and it's kind of like my philosophy. It's like, you can make a difference. And, you know, eventually, like right now, in like, there's a lot of things I didn't know about smoking e-cigarettes opposed to cigarettes. Like in order to quit, if you're doing it off, you know, e-cigarettes and not a patch or like just cold turkeying it, I can't right now. I'm going back and forth. I'd go crazy. I'd probably go postal. Like, and you have to figure out which cigarette you're smoking and what the nicotine base is on that, and then go a little higher dosage and then wean yourself off.
I just did cold turkey.
Were you crazy?
Absolutely insane. That was sort of the same era. I mean, well, I quit when I was 9 months sober. So I quit in July of 2001. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I had met you when you just quit then.
Yeah. And I was crazy. I remember that I had kind of, you know, been making sober progress and then 9 months, just emotional dips, dating crazy people and all of them and just not sane. Yeah. I remember going into the Coffee Bean on Beverly and Robertson and desperately wanting to walk out with a breakfast item and walking out with an egg salad sandwich and going, I've lost my mind. My freaking mind.
Do you remember I quit smoking because of you?
I do remember you
for
quitting.
For 26 days.
I remember you quitting.
And Christian Kaplan, the head of Fox guy, came to my house because I was watching Sophie's Choice and I thought I was Sophie. I thought I was Meryl Streep. Sophie's Choice. And like, I think you may have even been like, please smoke a cigarette. Like, everyone was like, smoke.
Right.
And I was like, crazy.
Right. It really was not. I was working. I was driving. I should not have been. That detox was so much worse than my Ambien detox.
That's the whole thing is yeah. I can't have, yeah. I don't have the time to have a mental breakdown yeah, right now. Like, because I'm going back and forth and I'm doing yeah. this. I'm speaking at Lynn University next week awesome. In Florida. Like, where awesome. Obama spoke. If I could
smoke. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you come up and be like, I have to make a choice between my two babies. You really, yeah.
I'm, like, on my knees, like, doing right. the thing, and then, like, it's all over, like, YouTube and, yeah. like, the news that, like, you know, Supergirl's really crazy. And,
right.
I just couldn't. So, you know, I'm doing it this way, and I'm just, you know, there's all these new things that, like, they're coming up with the e-cigarette and Blue. Mm-hmm. And it's just so amazing to learn so many things about the stuff that I was smoking and inhaling and how it has a hook on me. And do you know, like, the first hit of a cigarette chemists have done? That it's 20 times stronger than the end of the cigarette.
No, I didn't yes. know that.
Yes, and how much they have fixed and all the things you're inhaling, and I'm just like, oh my God, and I'm hooked on it.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. so it's been, you know, I did like, I went like a good 4 days, and then I smoked last week, and then they were like, it's progress, you know, and then now I'm on like a couple days right now, but I'm just like holding on tight.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. This listeners of this podcast, when I interviewed Carrie White, we did an hour on quitting smoking.
Sorry.
So it's just like, and which is all a part of recovery. It definitely is.
You know, and that is, you know, and I'm not like, I hate smokers. Like, because there are those people.
I'm not. Who I'm hate, like that.
You are. Do you remember, didn't I go with you to like a smoking meeting? It was like everyone was eating carrots and celery, and I was like cringing in that thing, and they're like, I'm smoker, and I'm like, go fuck yourself. Like,
probably.
And it was like,
I don't remember the chewing, but chewing does really irritate me.
Oh my God. And it was, there was like
the was carrot. It on La Cienega? Yes, that was the meeting I went to. And but I have
you been, and Carrie took me there. Yeah. I nearly wanted to punch you both
yeah,
in the face.
I don't blame you. I have not been in, you know, I want to say 7 or 8 years, and every time I see one of them, they go, you're gonna smoke, oh, you know, come to the meeting, and I'm like, well, it's sort of been a while now, yeah. but, you know, I don't know, maybe. I'm actually abusive, emotionally abusive to smokers. I am that person, I became that cliche. Literally, I walk by a smoker, and I plug my nose, and I try to shame them. I know, I'm not proud, but I have to be honest, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, oh, and can we just give a little, let's like talk a little bit about The Real Housewives. So you've been on for 2 seasons?
I shot my 3rd season this year. It okay. airs on November 4th. I shot this season and I will be on. I wasn't able to shoot as much as I did. Well, I was supposed to shoot a lot more and I was just in Florida and all over right. the country and during and between. But I'm there and there was a lot of emotional stuff that went on and there was a lot of craziness me and Brandy did too together, a lot of like right. sex talk and stuff like that.
I can't wait.
And a lot of, you know, because I lived with Brandy and I, you know, we're family. We've been
so
family.
You met Brandy when you were a model when you were 12 or 13?
Yes. No, I was a teenager. I had met her and we've been friends for 6 years.
And I remember
years.
In the Cody days, you always talked about. You know?
You've met her at all my birthday parties. I have pictures of you at a birthday, another picture at a birthday party. It starts with a P. It was on Melrose. It was...
Melrose?
It was an Italian restaurant.
Oh, there was an Italian restaurant we went to all the time.
Yes, and it was really fancy. We went there, and it was in the back room, and it's like, Brandy's pregnant. She's there with Eddie at the time.
No, I don't think I was there.
No, you were there.
I just remember you always talking...
Penny Vino.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I, but so then, yeah, and so then.
So we've been best friends. I was in maid of honor of her wedding. I was the first girl to hold Mason at the hospital when her first child. And, right. you know, we've been through it. We've been through, you know, I was there when she went through the separation and the divorce and then I moved in. And so, you know, I mean, we are family and she, I was living there up until a year ago and one of her dogs, gets it's really traumatic and I came in, I flew in for it and it was the most traumatic.
A surgery? Oh.
Yeah, it was really horrible. I mean, she talked about it.
Yeah.
She went public about it yeah. and stuff. I mean, it was horrible. We went everywhere searching and Chica was my little girl and there's a lot of things that go on this season. It's a crazy season.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a really crazy season. And I have 3 movies.
Okay, yes, let's talk about
it. I shot this movie called Groom's Cake. It's won 16 out of 17 awards, best short, comedy short.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's been great. It's a Prop 8. And then we did a sequel, which is feature length, Birthday Cake. And I shot that last at the end of last year and the beginning of this year. And it's in festivals right now. And we've got distribution going on right now.
Awesome.
And that was really fun. I play a train wreck. Like, just, I ruin this party. It's so much fun. And then, another, it's a comedy. And then I shot another comedy horror called Chastity Bites. And mm-hmm. that it comes out in February. And I think they might show it on video on demand in November or December. And then it's hitting theaters. And I'm really excited about that. I play a woman that's older. So they had to age me. Mm-hmm. And then I'm obsessed with virgin blood, and I get younger. And I was like, "Are you gonna pull my face back?" They're like, "No, we're gonna keep you like you are now." I'm like, "Oh!" Right, and then I get really old, like 7 hours of makeup, every day, special effects makeup. So that was so much fun to do. It's been, you know, they told me I couldn't do that. They told me I couldn't act again. They told me I couldn't call Hollywood a chapter. And don't tell me I can't do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the beauty about recovery. It's like you can become anything you want. Mm-hmm. And things that you don't even know you're going to become, you become.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know? Well, so, okay, this is great. So if people want to find you, they can, you're on Twitter.
Jennifer Jimenez with a G, G-I-M-E-N-E-Z on Twitter. Jen, I'm on Instagram. I guess you have to. I just started this stupid Instagram.
Yeah,
thing.
You got it.
Are you on it?
I'm on Instagram. I don't really do it that much. I always forget about it.
You have a plethora of Twitter followers, I remember.
I have way. I'm better with words than I am with photos, I'll tell you that. So I have way more Twitter. Like, nobody follows me on Instagram.
And then I just started a couple weeks ago. And then I have my Facebook. I'm trying to merge both my accounts because I have like 3,000 people waiting on my personal page.
Yeah.
It's not my personal page. So just go to my Facebook. Site. Yeah, like Jennifer Men is there. And I need somebody, I need so much help right now. Like, not in a bad way.
No,
like, I just need someone. Yeah, it's all exciting. It's overwhelming, you know, and I take care of my mom here and she's here. And so I've been like, I need to get an assistant or an intern or somebody. Mm-hmm. I need help. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to merge all that stuff. So in the meantime, it's kind of like on hold. But yeah, you can get a hold of me on Twitter. I'm much more vocal on Twitter than I am anywhere else.
Yeah. And they should go to soberbook.com.
I beg people. I say this, like, I believe we all have overcome something.
Yeah.
And to please share your story on what you've overcome.
Anybody can share it.
Anybody.
Everybody gets printed.
Everybody becomes a chapter on the website.
Yeah.
And
so you can never say you are not a published author, because if you do this, you will be published.
Yes. Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And it will help somebody else, and it may just help you.
Yeah. Yeah. And you should all, if you smoke already and you want to quit.
Or you do the e-cigarettes, go to Bloog on the internet, and you can order there.
Okay, this was so fun.
Oh my God, thank you
so much. Okay, I'm stopping.